The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome. Happy Sunday morning. The NFL draft is in the books, so we are back. Going to be talking about the draft recap and where that has us sitting when it comes to rookie drafts. I know for many, rookie drafts will start to kick off this next week and then permeate throughout May and then some into June and July. So be interesting to see. But before we kick into the draft, let's talk about some news and notes. Probably the biggest piece going into the draft was that George Pickens would sign his franchise tag for the Dallas Cowboys. That is good news. But also, interesting piece of news came out that they were not planning to negotiate a long-term contract. So what is going on there? That led to some hot speculation that Pickens would potentially be traded. Would the Cowboys then be going to get a big-time receiver in the draft? Well, we've seen the NFL draft, and we know that that didn't happen. The Cowboys did not make a big move or selection to get a receiver. Pickens was not traded during the draft. So at the very least, we know he will play the 2026 season for the Cowboys. Seemed like a good fit in that offense with CeeDee Lamb and tight end Jake Ferguson. But maybe there's some stuff going on behind the scenes. But at least for one more year, he's going to be there. They could also tag him again next offseason. But it seemed like an interesting conversation that they were not going to pursue a long-term contract. We will see if that plays out more during the year. Well, as promised, time to talk about the draft. I'm going to go in depth on each of the 10 skill position players taken during the first round of the draft and then touch on some of the trends that we saw in the rest of the days of the draft. But as expected, the number one overall pick was Fernando Mendoza, the quarterback from Indiana, went to the Las Vegas Raiders. He should lock up his position as a top two pick in Superflex drafts and as the most bankable of the QB prospects. There was another QB taken in round one, which was something of a mild surprise, but it's also probable that no rookie quarterback is going to start in week one of the NFL season. And that means that, you know, if you needed a quarterback and you were turning to these rookie drafts to try to get that done, maybe you have some future help coming, but you may not have any help early in the season. Jeremiah Love, everybody thought would be the first running back off the board. He was taken number three by the Arizona Cardinals. And I have to say, from a fantasy standpoint, that felt like a bit of a bummer. The Cardinals still have James Conner and had taken Trey Benson just two drafts ago. They also spent this offseason making a free agent contract with Tyler Allgeier. Now they bring in Jeremiah Love. That is a lot of running backs trying to juggle back there behind a line that we still have some questions about, an offense that we still have some questions about, and a new coaching scheme. I felt really bad for Tyler Allgeier. We've been waiting for a couple of seasons for him to have a chance to be the lead back, and it doesn't look like that is going to happen where he landed in Arizona either. Questions about maybe what happens to James Conner. Could he end up being a cap casualty? I suppose Trey Benson probably becomes a roster bubble guy. We have not seen much from him the last 2 years. You kind of understand why, from a football standpoint, they would make this move. Not ideal for fantasy and dynasty. But given the way this whole draft went and the class, I still have him as my 101 in Superflex. I think he and Mendoza are still the top two picks. And then beyond that, you're going to get into a lot of receivers, just like we did in the first round of the draft. Carnell Tate went at pick 4 to the Tennessee Titans. I think that solidifies him as the number one receiver in this class, both because he was the number one receiver taken off the board and because the opportunities in that location. Calvin Ridley, the veteran, is still there, but he's coming back off an injury. Wandale Robinson is there, but he's more of a complimentary player. They took Shamira DK and Elik Eomenor last year. I think those guys take a real hit. There are some talks that Eomenor may now be a roster bubble guy. I think Tate and Stanley will probably become the number one receiver there. Now, what will that translate to in terms of fantasy? I'm still a little cautious for Dynasty. I still have some questions about Tennessee, but I do like the move, and I think he's probably, you know, for me, he's the 103 in rookie drafts. I think he should probably be the third player off the board. At pick 108, we saw Jordan Tyson go to the New Orleans Saints. I thought that was a decent pick. He is a receiver that has a little bit of a checkered injury history. I still have him as wide receiver 3 in this group. I will talk about my wide receiver 2, who also went in the first round, a little bit later. But I think he is probably a top 5 or 6 pick in rookie drafts. You know, if you took him 3, 4, 5, or 6, I wouldn't be shocked. It really is going to start depending on preference. But he is part of a top group. The biggest surprise of round one was Ty Simpson, the Alabama quarterback, going to the Los Angeles Rams at 13. This makes things difficult and interesting. So for a rookie draft, I've thought about this a little bit, and I think this really vaults him up to where I'm going to consider starting to take him at the back end of first round, maybe slips into the top end of second round. I currently have him 12 in my post-draft Dynasty Superflex rankings. The draft capital, the commitment, you can't look past that. And in Superflex, you really need quarterbacks to potentially hit. On the flip side, some kind of negative things that seem like maybe head coach Sean McVay wasn't on the same page as Les Snead when they made this pick. It's come out they never even met beforehand. Also, Matthew Stafford, the reigning NFL MVP, is there. And at least for 2026, I would not expect Simpson to play unless something happens to Stafford, and could be 2 or 3 years. So you're going to have to wait to get the production, and that makes it difficult. And that's why I think really the back end of the first round, if you have a late pick, either you acquired it from a championship team and you're just building up pieces on your team, or you were a championship or a championship contending team. And that should mean that you're probably secure in your starters, secure enough to grab a guy that can keep sustaining a run. And I think that makes for an ideal landing spot potentially for Simpson in Dynasty. Next off the board, Kenyon Sadiq went at pick 16 to the New York Jets, top tight end for many, goes here. Really a bummer if you were a believer in the Mason Taylor breakout. This is going to make that very difficult. Geno Smith getting some weapons, though. Sadiq will slot in. We'll talk about another weapon that actually comes a little bit later in the first round. Sadiq still the top tight end off the board. I think he goes anywhere from that 5 to 10 range in your dynasty draft, depending on your need and how you're feeling. I have him sitting at 7 in my post-draft rankings. Wide receiver Mekhi Lemon goes at pick 20 to the Philadelphia Eagles. I liked this pick. He is still my wide receiver 2. As I mentioned, I have one between Tate and Tyson. He is still my wide receiver 2. I still have him as 4 in Dynasty Superflex rankings. And I know you're saying it's getting crowded there, but this pretty much locks up that AJ Brown will be moved, as has long been rumored, after June 1st. And I think Lemon has an excellent opportunity to be wide receiver 2 opposite Devonta Smith, which is pretty good. He's competing against Dontavian Wicks, a piece that I like, and Hollywood Brown. I think they actually have some good depth in that receiving core now, but Lemon is the guy I think could be number 2 as early as 2026 and is also a piece for the future. They worked on a piece for the future at tight end too. They went and got Eli Stowers in the second round of the NFL draft, and he's a player that I would look at end of the first round, top of the second round, may not be great in 2026 because Dallas Goedert is there, but I think they really took him with an eye toward the future. They've been looking at potentially moving on from Goedert for a couple of years. So Stowers and Lemon could end up being a big piece there. Will Jalen Hurts get it back together and maybe take a step forward? Are they going to go somewhere else at quarterback? Those are fair questions. But for me, Lemon, a guy that we liked the talent coming into the draft, and I still have him as wide receiver too. Another what felt like YOLO pick, the Browns at 24. We thought they'd take a receiver, but even with some big names on the board, they went with KC Concepcion. I don't know totally what to make of this. It doesn't feel like a great fit. It doesn't feel like a great offense, but still you have to respect the draft capital. And in this class and where things fell, I ended up leaving him as wide receiver 6. Denzel Boston actually went at the top of the second round for the Browns, and I still have him as wide receiver 5. I think Boston and Concepcion are among a group of guys late second round, late first round, early second round, where you're going to end up grabbing them. I think that's going to be true of a lot of wide receiver prospects. Not my favorite first round pick, but certainly helps himself a little bit. The Jets came back up into round 1, took Omar Cooper Jr. at pick 30. I liked that pick. Cooper, I have still as my wide receiver 4. I like the location and the potential. Really a killer if you were hoping that Adonai Mitchell would get that kind of jump start, fresh start for the Jets. He looked good after being traded there, but instantly slides to wide receiver 3. And how many, you know, how many targets are going to be available? Garrett Wilson still there, locked in a wide receiver 1. Cooper now there. Sadiq now there. They still have Taylor in the mix as tight end 2. They still have a good pass-catching running back in Breece Hall. You know, we did not see a great performance from Geno Smith last year for the Raiders. Can he pick it up some? That is going to be a question that we're going to really have to grapple with. On paper, I like a lot of these Jets prospects, and you're going to see Cooper and Sadiq go in the first round of rookie drafts. Maybe better in 2027 than in 2026. May have a kind of cap for them and Wilson and Hall, just because I don't know how functional this offense is going to be. The guy that maybe helped himself the most in the draft is Jadarian Price, who went at pick 32, last pick of the first round, second running back off the board, went to Seattle. Seattle place that provides some sneaky value. Zach Charbonnet is there, but he's coming off a torn ACL, suffered in the playoffs in January. Ken Walker is now in Kansas City. So it's kind of George Halani and Emmanuel Wilson. You could see a scenario where it's likely that Price is the lead back starting from week 1. And that could give you some more stable, guaranteed early value and return than a lot of the players that are going in the rookie draft this year. So Price instantly jumped way up and solidified a top 6 position for me. I actually have him at 6 in my Superflex rankings, right between Jordan Tyson and Kenyon Sadiq. I think he was one of the real winners. Let's talk some of the rest of the draft. Wide receiver going to be heavy. We saw a lot of day 2 picks in this range. Jeremy Bernard goes to the Steelers. The Steelers, famously on opening night, were on the phone with Lemon trying to take him at 21 when the Eagles traded up and grabbed him. So they move up a little bit in the second round to grab Bernard. We saw some third round selections, Antonio Williams going to the Commanders, Malachi Fields to the Giants. The biggest one that kicked off round 2 is Dazon Stribling, not projected to go that high, but it is the first pick, number 33 in the second round, that goes to the 49ers. I think those guys kind of make up your top 10 at receiver, and I think that's a bulk of players that are going to go in the early second round. I could also see Zachariah Branch, who went to the Falcons in the third round. Chris Bell, one of 2 receivers in the third round to go to the Dolphins. He's the one I prefer. Maybe even a Ted Hurst, who went to the Buccaneers, who are loaded, but there is some upside there. You can see a lot of those guys going in the second round. And then you have even other players like Chris Brazil, who went to the Panthers, Caleb Douglas, the other of the Dolphins receivers, Jacoby Lane and Elijah Surratt, who went to the Ravens, Skylar Bell, who went to the Bills, even Zevion Thomas to the Bears and Brendan Thompson to the Chargers, guys who are going to go in the third round. I think wide receiver, we are going to see a lot of them. I would not be surprised to see 20 or more receivers go in a standard 3 or 4 round rookie draft. And that's because some of the other positions, real question marks. Tight end, you know, Stowers went number 2, but we had some other second round tight ends. Nate Bokercher went to the Jaguars, was the third tight end off the board. I don't think anyone really had that on their list, and he's still not a high selection for me. Marlon Klein went in the second round to the Texans. A bit of a nominal surprise. Then you had Max Clair. He was largely regarded as tight end 3 going into the draft, end up going to the Ravens. I still have him as tight end 3 in this rookie class. I also liked Oscar Delp going to the Saints. You know, with both Clair and Delp, I don't see a big first-year impact. Both of those guys have some crowded rooms to get through.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
But you could see them having some potential to be a top pass catcher in their group in the future. And the same, you know, I went with Justin Jolly at tight end 5. I know he dropped all the way to the 5th round, but I liked the selection to the Broncos, a team where we've talked about them wanting to get more production at the tight end. But unfortunately, a lot of these players who you might start taking maybe back into the second round or into the third round are probably practice squad guys in 2026 while you wait for them to develop. You know, some other ones I would consider in that range, Sam Roush, who went to the Bears, obviously a couple tight ends in front of him, Joe Royer, who went to the Browns. David Njoku's gone, but Harold Fannin Jr. is there. Tanner Cozzuolo was a late pick by the Jaguars. I would prefer him to Bokercher at this point in time if I was stashing one, but you never can tell. Eli Raridan to the Patriots. They still have Hunter Henry, but maybe a little bit of an opening there. Jack Andrews went to the Bengals. You know, maybe there's some potential. Michael Trigg was not actually drafted. He was a tight end. A lot of people were high on going into the draft, but signs as an undrafted free agent with the Cowboys, so maybe a name to watch and stash. The Ravens don't have a lot behind Mark Andrews after seeing Isaiah Likely and Charlie Kohler leave. They grabbed 2 tight ends on day 3, Matthew Hibner and Josh Cuevas. You know, I don't know how strongly I feel about either of them, but maybe those are some 4th round kind of practice squad stash guys. Quarterback, we did not see a quarterback taken in the 2nd round, but 2 went in the 3rd. Carson Beck going to the Cardinals with the 1st pick in the 3rd round. I actually think he easily locks up a QB3 position in the draft and is probably a guy I would consider at the end of a 2nd round of Superflex, but probably more of a 3rd round pick. Same for Drew Aller, who was the other 3rd round quarterback who went to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Neither of them has a clear mandate or a clear path. Beck has a little more upside to me because it's Jacoby Brissett, who's currently in something of a contract dispute, and Gardner Minshew. Maybe he can work his way in there. But you have to see Drew Aller. They like Will Howard. They also have Mason Rudolph, and they're waiting to hear about Aaron Rodgers. If Rodgers does indeed retire, that Aller pick becomes a little bit more interesting. But still, for me, he is a kind of third-round rookie draft guy. On day three, we saw Cade Klubnik go to the Jets. Jets, another team that looked like they needed depth and some options. Klubnik goes to the Jets. Talon Green, a prospect, goes to the Browns. Cole Payton to the Eagles. Garrett Nussmeier falls all the way to the seventh round, but ends up going to the Chiefs. I could see a case where all four of those guys end up getting drafted in your rookie draft. I wouldn't take any of them before late third or more into the fourth or fifth round of a rookie draft, depending on how deep your rookie draft goes. Hard to see a real path to production. You know, the Eagles have other quarterbacks. The Browns certainly have arguably too many quarterbacks. Some of these guys may not even make an active roster and will just be practice squad players, or may not make even the practice squad. So got to kind of see how a little bit of that plays out. Lastly, let's talk about running backs. So Love and Price, top six for me. There was one running back taken on day two of the draft. It came in the third round. The 49ers grabbed Kalen Black. He was not a guy that was a consensus top 10 going into the draft. A bit of an interesting pick. Leave it to the 49ers. Stribling and Black getting a big boost because of where they were taken. But still, he is a third round rookie draft pick for me. Hard to tell exactly how he fits in. I did like some of the day three selections. Nicholas Singleton ends up going to the Tennessee Titans. I actually moved him to running back three just because most of the backs went on day three in the fourth and fifth round. But presenting some opportunity in the backfield. So I have him with the Titans as three. Jonah Coleman goes to the Broncos. I have him as RB4. I could see a case where as soon as 2027, it's Coleman and Harvey leading the backfield. They did a lot of comparing Coleman to J.K. Dobbins and his running style. But I think for the time being, Dobbins, who they brought back and who fared well last year, as long as he is healthy, will be out there. And I think Harvey has a completely different role. And that's kind of a platoon back there. Does Coleman have upside? Sure does. But these are players I'm not looking at until we're getting into the back half of the second round, honestly. Same for Mike Washington Jr. He was a running back I liked that had some upside, goes to the Raiders. Your ceiling is capped. Ashton Janti is there. Will he have a role? Sure. Will you feel good about him being a viable starting option? I don't know, barring injury. Demond Claiborne went to the Vikings. Emmett Johnson to the Chiefs. Both those guys should be in the mix. Claiborne may be a little bit easier path to relevancy with Jordan Mason and Aaron Jones, both being injury prone and in contract years, but hard to tell. Emmett Johnson going to be behind Kenneth Walker. Probably a little bit more impressive than Breshard Smith, so maybe he's the RB2 there. Catron Allen, the back taken by the Commanders. I thought the Commanders were a spot where I would be very interested in a running back coming, but Allen going much later in the draft, it feels like they are going to have a giant committee approach with White and Ford and Bill Krosky Merritt and now Allen in the mix. I don't know how to feel great about that. So he is probably more of a third round rookie pick for me too. Same for Seth McGowan, who could end up being a backup role for the Colts, but he is going to be there vying with DJ Giddens. Adam Randall goes to the Ravens. How will he mix in with Justice Hill behind Derrick Henry? Jam Miller goes to the Patriots. A couple of interesting UDFAs that maybe you're taking in the late third or fourth round of rookie drafts. Roman Henby landed with the Raiders again. Mike Washington, Ashton Janti there. Hard to know how to feel. Le'Veon Moss goes to the Dolphins, a team that I thought already had kind of a crowded backfield of guys vying to be behind Devon Achane. Jaden Ott, another one that just adds to the depth of the Chiefs. Jamari Taylor, an interesting one to the Jaguars. I thought the Jaguars were a team that would try to target getting a running back. They don't take one in the draft. They pick him up as a UDFA. I guess that is a great sign for Bashel Tutin. Overall, I would say this is not my favorite rookie draft. Will there be some value? Probably. It's hard to feel great about any of these landing spots or any of these players producing a lot in the first year. If you were a team that started to rebuild and wiped out and loaded up on 2026 draft picks, if you can move them for future years, I might consider doing that. I don't know what the market is in most of the leagues I'm in. Most people are not high on this draft class or this rookie draft, and it is hard to find willing takers for those picks who are willing to give you anything good going forward. So you may just have to make selections that are the best. This is definitely going to be a draft where personal preference and the way you feel about the path to targets is going to be going, you know, beyond a kind of tight top six for me. I can see people going in a lot of different directions. For me, I have a lot of receivers lined up before I start getting back into running backs. And that seems to be the way the actual NFL draft fell. So I wish you the best of luck as rookie draft season kicks off. I will be taking a week off, and then I will be back talking about more off-season movement. And as we get ready for a new season, getting close to starting division previews and things like that. So hope you guys have a wonderful Sunday. Hope you recover after the draft, and good luck in rookie draft season.